makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the blend that's friendship in a cup, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Rudy Vallee.
This is Rudy Vallee saying hi-ho to another Chase and Sanborn Hour, and extending a cordial greeting from all of us, from Dorothy L'Amour, from Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, from Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. This evening, our guest book bears three fresh signatures, as we herald the presence of lovely Joan Blondell, clamorous Vera Veig, and baritone Lansing Hatfield. To these three also, our warmest welcome. And may we add our very sincere wish that all of you throughout the week will find in Chase and Sanborn Coffee the real friendship and pleasure that we hope you find in us, which sincere sentiment is shared by all of us. And in speaking of sharing, Dorothy L'Amour and I merge voices in a sprightly new tune called Chatterbox. Arturo Armbruster, the merger, if you please. Chatterbox, 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 talking all day long. Chatterbox, 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 like an endless song. Your voice could rival the sweetest of birds, but you keep using the wrong little words. Chatterbox, 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 give your heart a chance. Chatterbox, 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 speaking of romance. How about saying I love you, I do? I never knew a chatterbox like you. You talk a mile a minute, but there's nothing in it. It's much too much. All your conversation is a recitation on life or such. If I wanted knowledge, I would go to college in my chickadee. Won't you stop chattering and say you love me? Chatterbox, 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 give your heart a chance. Chatterbox, 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 speaking of romance. How about saying I love you, I do? I never knew a chatterbox like you.
Chatterbox, 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 talking all day long. Chatterbox, 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 like an endless song. Your voice is right, sweetest of birds, but you keep using the wrong little words. Chatterbox, 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 give your heart a chance. Chatterbox, 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 speaking of romance. How about saying I love you, I do? I never knew a chatterbox like you. You talk a mile a minute, but there's nothing in it. It's much too much. All your conversation is a recitation on life and such.
If I wanted knowledge, I would go to college, my chickadee. Won't you stop chattering?
Chatterbox, 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 give your heart a chance. Chatterbox, 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 speaking of romance.
How about saying I love you, I do?
I never knew a chatterbox.
Oh, but it is a chatterbox.
Chatter, 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 chatter.
A few weeks ago, it was our pleasure to extend all of Chase and Sanborn's hospitality to a guest singer, one Lansing Hatfield. Mr. Hatfield liked our brand of hospitality, and we liked Mr. Hatfield's brand of voice. So an invitation to revisit with us was issued and accepted. Lansing, it's nice to have you back.
It's nice to be back, Rudy.
There, you see? Well, Lansing, the floor is all yours.
Thanks, Rudy, and the pleasure is mine.
And the song is George Gershwin's Song of the Flame, is it not?
What's that light that is beckoning? Take your new day of reckoning. On, 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 on. All our freedom is calling you, calling you, calling you. Children of the night, moving blindly for the right, the flame of hope is near. watch that light that is beckoning. Through the night it is beckoning. Come, 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 come. Take your new day of beckoning. What new fire is in for you? Full of freedom is calling you. Oh, at the hill of hope and glory, follow, follow the flame. What new fire is it calling you? Full of freedom is calling you. All aboard, follow, follow the flame, the flame. Follow, follow the flame.
As you no doubt have read in your newspaper, our mutual friend, Edgar Bergen, has taken ill during the past week. It's nice to be able to tell all of you, well wishers and good friends, that Edgar is on his way toward complete recovery. So well, in fact, that he insisted on paying you his regular weekly visit and talking to you himself. And to make sure that we'll be kept well informed, we have sent Charlie McCarthy down to St. Vincent's Hospital in Los Angeles to give us the real inside story of Edgar's convalescence. All right, Charlie. Let's hear the lowdown.
Hello, everybody. This is Charlie McCarthy coming to you direct from Edgar Bergen's bedside. We are surrounded by a bevy of beautiful nurses. Yoo-hoo! Girls, 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 now. Let's have no giggling. Let's all be little Florence Nightingales. We had hoped for a few words from E.B., but he's asleep at the mole. Or something. As soon as he wakes up, I'll have him say a few words, and if he won't talk, I'll have him moan a little fire.
Charlie, just a moment.
No, you're asleep, Ergen. Ladies and gentlemen, doctors and nurses, Edgar Bergen was brought to the hospital suffering from a stubborn case of falling hair.
Charlie. That is not true.
Oh.
I was brought here for observation.
Oh, for observation, yes, for observation, yes. And from what I observe, they're sick and tired of looking at you. Well.
Charlie. Ashamed of you.
Well, you do look a little putrid. Peaked.
Peaked.
Peaked, yes, peaked, yes. Why don't you save your strength, Bergen, and let me do all the talking?
All right. Thank you.
Yes, yes.
I'll admit I am a little bit weak.
Yes, I noticed that. My voice ain't coming out as strong as usual.
Well, it's nothing serious.
No, nothing serious.
I'm just a little shaky in the knees, that's all.
Yes, you can say that again, yes. And it ain't comfortable, I might add. I haven't had such a shakedown since I rode on the old 6th Avenue L.
Oh, well, I'm not as bad as all that.
Oh, yes, you are. But I got good news for you.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Well...
Yes, the doctor told me that he once knew a man who had the same thing that you got.
Mm-hmm.
And the man got well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good.
Yes.
The doctor has assured me that I'll be out of here tomorrow or the next day.
Uh-huh.
And it won't be long before I'll be exactly the same as I was.
You mean there'll be no improvement? Say, Mr. Bergen, I meant to tell you, the doctor phoned a few minutes ago, but I didn't want to bother you.
Oh, you didn't want to bother me? Yeah, I see.
Well, what did he want?
Well, he wanted to talk to you. But I told him you were too sick to see him.
Oh, I see. Too sick to see the doctor.
Yes.
Well, now, why did you say that?
Why should I give him the satisfaction of saying you are all right? He'll soak you enough anyhow.
Charlie, that is no way to talk about the doctor.
Oh.
I think he's a very fine man.
Oh, yes, yes, I like him. He talks very nice.
Yes.
Yes. He's sort of, well, he's nice to talk to.
Yes, he is.
Yes, I found him that way. Sort of educated, ain't he?
Yes.
Yes, sort of.
I think he is, sort of.
Yes. He acts like a college man.
Oh, I think so. I think he must be.
Yes, I think so, yeah. You know, Mr. Bergen, you never told me what was the matter with you. What did they find when they made the dog's noses?
No.
Dog's toeses?
No.
The autopsy?
No. You mean the diagnosis?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What was wrong with you?
Well, Charlie, you see, I've been just a little bit too active.
Oh, I see.
And, well, you know, if you overtax your strength, the weakest part of your body, well, it just breaks down.
Oh. You've been having headaches?
No. Of course not.
Well, I didn't know. Yeah. Say, Bergen, while you're in the hospital, why don't you have a hair transfusion?
Now, wait a minute.
Just trying to help, that's all. Just trying to be helpful. Hey, Bergen.
Yes.
I don't know whether you know it now, but they've got some awful pretty nurses here, haven't they?
Yes, they have, Charlie.
Yes, they have, yes. I think that, well, there's so many of them.
Yes, well, that little brunette is very attractive.
Uh-huh. Yes, she is. You mean Helen?
Yes, I guess so. Of course, the blonde is very nice, too.
The blonde? Oh, yes, you mean Mildred.
Oh, I see, yes.
She's busy tomorrow night.
Oh, she's busy, I see.
I'm doing all right.
Yes. You seem to know all about it.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes, I was just starting to write down the phone numbers when the supervisor came in.
Oh, I see. I see.
My, how they get around.
Yeah.
I didn't want to tell you this, Bergen, but you know the time Helen took your temperature?
Yes.
She was holding my hand all the time.
She was?
Yes. So it was your temperature and my pulse.
Yes, I... Well, I did have a little fever, didn't I?
Yes. She said it was 101 or 102.
Well, last night it went down to 98.
Oh, you broke 100. Good. What's par?
Well, don't worry about that, Charlie. I'm all right, and I appreciate your concern.
Uh-huh.
And you're coming down to see me at the hospital.
That's all right. I didn't mind it at all.
Yeah.
Fruit was nice, too.
Yeah. Anyway, your loyalty and your consideration, it shall not go unrewarded.
What have I done now?
No. I was just saying that I want to do something nice.
Oh.
You've been so good lately.
Yes.
I'm thinking... Well, Charlie, I'm thinking of raising your allowance to $1 a week.
$1 a week? Oh, nurse, the man is delirious. Nurse, is there a house doctor in the house?
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday, dear Dottie, happy birthday to you.
Why, thank you, Rudy.
Sweet 16, Dottie?
Well, no, not quite.
Sweet anyway. Younger, Dottie?
Not quite, Rudy.
Older?
Quite. The song I'm going to sing...
How much older?
The song is One Cigarette for Two, written by...
22, perhaps?
Written by my friend Roz Metzger, Dan Dougherty, and Ben Ryan.
23?
And I'd like to sing it for you.
Oh, well, young and alluring anyway.
Did you say something, Rudy?
Oh, me? Oh, no, not a word. Sing, Dottie, One Cigarette for Two.
One cigarette It would be nice if we divide that one cigarette for two. There in the midnight moon, was there a moon? I wouldn't know. All I remember is the glow of one cigarette or two. Each little cough I measure, watching the light descend. Each little puff I treasure, down to the very end. I got a thrill with you, and as a memory lingers, yes, of lips that lingered where they met on one cigarette or two. It was better that way, more dreams flowing away, each time a dream for two. Each little one I measure, watching the light descend. Each little puff I treasure, down to the very end. I've got a thrill with you, and as the memory lingers yet of lips that lingered where they met on one little cigarette. One cigarette.
By mail and by wire, by train and by air, by every means short of the Pony Express, this good word comes back to us. Being human, we're proud of it and pass it along to you.
Yes, sir, the good news is just piling in. We get it from every side. Chase and Sandman Drip Grind Coffee is going great guns everywhere. You know, people can't change to it quick enough now that they can get their favorite blend, dated coffee, in the new Drip Grind. Because dated coffee's freshly roasted, so the flavor is all right in it, rich and mellow as it can be. That's what you need for drip coffee, all the flavor you can get. And Chase and Sandman gives it to you. We've put up modern roasting plants all across the country, so no matter where you live, you get this delicious drip grind coffee at its richest, freshly roasted. We date every silver package so you're sure of freshness. What's more, our fresh food trucks stop at your grocer's every few days, and we see to it that no pound of dated coffee stays in a store for more than 10 days. That applies to the regular grind for percolated coffee and to the drip grind, too. And that dating and delivery system keeps the price down for you. With the oven so close, delivery so fast and frequent, and the date on every package, why, there's no call for heavy, expensive containers. The drip grind also comes in the money-saving silver package, and you save the difference in cash. So, for drip coffee, the way you like it, switch over to Chase and Sandman dated coffee in the drip grind. It will pay you to do that tomorrow. With infinite pleasure, I spread the welcome mat for our guest this evening. One of the grandest young troopers of whom Hollywood can boast, Joan Blondell. We can always count on Joan for a splendid performance. And from what we hear in preview circles, she does her best job yet in the forthcoming Columbia picture, The Amazing Mr. Williams. She appears tonight with Fred MacKay in an original comedy drama written by Michael Jackson and Winston Miller. Presenting Joan Blondell in After the Party's Over. The scene, the small, newly furnished apartment of the newlywed Bob Bartletts. Bob and Peggy have given their first party this evening. A very special party because Bob's boss, Mr. Klein, is numbered among the guests. But it's late and the guests are leaving, much to the relief of the long-suffering folk in the neighboring apartments.
Good night, Grace. Good night, Jerry. I'm glad you did. Good night.
Good night, Bob.
Good night, Mr. Klein.
Must you go?
Well, I hate to, Mrs. Bartlett. It's been such a nice party. But after all, I'm a working man, too. If I overslept tomorrow, your husband might think his boss was an old man.
You an old man. Don't be silly.
Did you hear that, Bob? You know, I like to see my men happily married. Sort of settles them down, I think. I remember when Mrs. Klein and I first got a little apartment like this. Well, I really must be going. So, good night.
Good night.
I'll see you tomorrow, Mr. Klein.
Darling.
Sweetheart.
Our first party. How did it go, darling? Was everything all right?
Perfect, sweet.
Your boss, do you think he really had a good time?
Did he? You heard what he said, didn't you? About liking to see his employees married? Boy, there's no telling what he meant by that. Why, this party might be the turning point in my career, the way the boss is talking. Imagine, just because we got married.
Happily married, he said, darling. Anybody can be just plain married.
Not to you, they can't.
Mr. and Mrs. Bob Bartlett.
That's a...
Happily married. How do we let them know, though, that, you know, when you meet people on the street, how do they know you're happily married?
Tell them, that's what I do.
Oh.
Just go right up to them and say, how do you do? I'm happily married.
Oh, silly. It was a nice party, though, wasn't it?
I'll say. Oh, it was a swell party. Swell wife. And now a swell night's sleep. Oh, boy, I'm dead. You coming, dear?
In just a few minutes, darling.
I couldn't stay awake another 10 minutes of... Oh, Peggy, you're not going to clean up now.
Well, you know, I can't stand waking up to a messy apartment.
But the whole apartment isn't messy. It's just this room.
Just the same thing.
Well, why is it we don't sleep in this room? Look, I'll get up tomorrow morning and clean it all up before you wake up.
You get up early.
Well...
I'd never be able to sleep if I left the apartment like this. Now, you run along to bed, though, if you're tired.
No. If you insist on cleaning up at this hour of the night, I'll help.
You don't have to, darling.
The heck I don't. Go on. You wash them and I'll dry them.
Thank you, sweet.
Not at all. Alley-oop, let's go.
Darling.
Hmm?
Was everything really all right tonight?
Certainly everything was all right. I told you.
Well, I don't mean just all right. I mean, was it perfect?
Sure it was. Where did these little plates go?
Up on the left. You know, Bob, I want you to tell me if there was the least little thing wrong so that next time I'll be able to do it better. That's the only way you learn.
Darling, everything was swell.
I want you to be perfectly frank with me.
Well, frankly, honey, now that you ask, I thought there was a little too much cheese in the dressing. What's the matter?
Oh.
But don't look like that, darling, after all you asked me to tell you.
I know, but I didn't think you would.
Oh. But, darling...
Oh, our first party. And I tried so hard. And you tell me the dressing was bad.
I didn't say it was bad, darling. As a matter of fact, it was pretty darn good.
Oh, you don't think it was at all. You think it was awful. And now everybody knows that I'm not a good cook.
But, darling, it wasn't as bad as all that, really.
There, see? Now you said it again.
Said what again?
That it was bad.
I did not say it was bad. I only said the cheese had a little too much... the dressing had a little too much cheese in it.
Well, I don't see how it could have. I made it right from the cookbook.
I'm sorry, dear, but it did.
It did not.
Darling, it did.
Robert Billings Bartlett, I spent 45 minutes over that dressing.
I don't care how long it took you. The fact remains
that... Of course you don't care how long it took. Doesn't tire you out, no matter how hard I work.
It does, too. I mean, no, hang the dressing.
Well, if you feel that way, no wonder you didn't like it. Maybe if you started out with a more fair and open attitude, you would have liked it better. If you hadn't had such a closed mind.
I never had a closed mind about dressing in my life.
The others didn't seem to think it was so awful. I noticed Jerry Dudley ate 2 helpings.
That pipsqueak. He'd eat arsenic if you batted your eyes while you gave it to him.
I don't have to bat my eyes to make epicures enjoy good food. And Jerry Dudley is not a pipsqueak.
No, I'm being polite.
Just who, may I ask, is your idea of a good, impartial judge of dressing? Grace Stevens, I suppose.
Well, as a matter of fact, she is. At least she'll judge the dressing just for its own sake. She wouldn't sit there mooning at you while you serve
it. I should say not. Not at me.
Now, just what do you mean by that?
You know very well what I mean. The way she simpered at you. Of course, one couldn't blame her too much. After all, if some men like that phony southern accent...
It so happens that Grace Stevens came from Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, she came from Nashville, all right, at the age of 6 months.
Well, she went back there to school, though. She said that's when she really got in the habit of talking with the...
You don't have to stick up to her for me. If you like that sort of baby talk, I'm sure I don't care.
I didn't say I liked it. I'm simply telling you how she happens to have it.
Very interesting, I'm sure. But even if it were real, how does a southern accent qualify her to judge salad dressing?
Well, it doesn't disqualify her, does it?
Oh, yeah, you're being silly.
Oh, I'm being silly.
Bob, you broke a plate.
I know it.
Hey, you want to...
Oh!
Hey!
There. Oh. Even the neighbors can hear you. Now, will you be more quiet and more careful?
Well, get the soap off of them better and they won't slip.
Don't tell me how to wash dishes.
And don't tell me how to break them, then. I know what I'm doing.
Stop waving your arms!
I'm perfectly able to dry dishes without it.
Oh, you dropped that on purpose.
Not that time, but this is...
Oh, Bob! My bloody china!
Your china. It's half mine, isn't it? Oh. Well, here goes my half.
Stay quiet. I can't sleep.
There, now... Now the neighbors can't sleep.
And neither can I, not around here.
Bob, where are you going?
Out to a boiler factory where it's peaceful.
Bob Bartlett, if you go out that door...
Yeah, well, good night.
Hello, folks.
Oh.
Mr. Klein.
I was just about to ring. I was afraid I was going to waken you. Glad you're still up.
Yes, we were just... we're still up.
I just came back after my hat.
Oh, your hat. Yes, your hat. Peggy, where's Mr. Klein's hat?
You've got it on.
I was just going to... here.
thank you, thanks. Well, Bob, I don't suppose there's any use keeping this from you any longer. Bob, you're going to be the new sales manager.
No.
I'm going to.
Oh, Mr. Klein.
Now. Don't thank me, children. When I see one of my men settle down happily at home... Why, I know he can handle responsibility in the office.
Oh, Bob, I'm so proud.
Well, now, Mrs. Bartlett, Bob should be proud of you, too.
Yes, sir, I certainly am. And I was just telling Peggy that...
Oh, before I go, Mrs. Bartlett, you won't mind if Mrs. Klein calls you in the morning,
Calls? Well, not at all, Mr. Klein.
I wanted to get the recipe for that, marvelous salad dressing.
Why, certainly, Mr. Klein.
Well, that's what I always say. Great little cook, my wife.
Well, good night, children.
Good night.
I'll be running along.
Good night, Mr. Klein.
Mr. Darling.
Sweetheart.
Oh, Bob, I'm so excited. I don't know what to do.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, go to sleep. Go to sleep.
This is Rudy Valley, and the chase in Sanbonauer continues. If we are to believe the writers of salty songs of the sea, a sailor's life is most definitely a merry one. And after all, as a confirmed landlubber, who am I to doubt it? Especially when such excellent evidence is given by Lansing Hatfield as he sings the old English folk song, The Sailor's Life.
A sailor's life's the life I throw. He works now late, now early, now up, now down, now to and fro. What then? He takes it cheerily. When perils gather round, all sense of danger's drowned, we despise it full of man. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. If howling winds and roaring seas give proof of coming danger, we view the storm but rest at ease. For fear's to Jack a stranger. When perils gather round, all sense of danger's drowned, we despise it full of man. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. But think not that our life is hard, those storms at sea ill treat us. For a coming home's a sweet reward, when wives and sweethearts greet us. When perils gather round, all sense of danger's drowned, we despise it to a man. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. We sing a little and laugh a little and work a little and play a little, fiddle a little and put it a little as bravely as we can. As bravely as we can. As bravely as we can.
Distinct pleasure this evening to welcome a very gifted visitor. Very gifted. And the gift is gab. I'm talking, of course, of that rambling rose of a thousand conversations, our one-woman windstorm, vociferous Vera Vague.
Thank you. Oh, hello, Mr. Valley. It's very pleasant to see you again, but you'll just have to pardon me. I'm in an awful mood.
That doesn't seem right, Miss Vague. What's the matter?
Well, somebody just insulted me. The idea just makes me boil.
What happened?
Oh, somebody just said my husband was the ugliest man in Hollywood, of all things.
Oh, but Miss Vague, you're not even married.
I know it. That's what makes me boil.
I wouldn't take it too hard, Miss Vague. He probably didn't mean any harm.
Well, maybe not. You know, that's one thing I like about you, Mr. Valley. You're so understanding. You and I come from the same social mold.
Oh, you're just saying that, Miss Vague. I'm sure you're moldier than I am.
Well, bless your heart. You know, Mr. Valley, in my hometown, I'm really quite a social figure, if I do say so myself. Yes, just last week I went back there and they printed an item about me in the local paper. Would you care to hear it?
I'm all ears.
I know it, but would you care to hear it? Oh, poor Mr. Valley. Anyway, here it is, right here.
right at the top of the society column here. Yes, it says, Miss Vera Begg, Hollywood Belle of 20 summers, is visiting her... visiting her twin brother, aged 52. How did that get in there? Twin brother. Why, you've seen my brother, Mr. Valet. He's not a bit like me, is he?
I wouldn't say so.
No.
He looked quite intelligent to me.
Well, thank you. But getting back to the point, Mr. Valet, there really are very few polite people left. Men just aren't chivalrous anymore.
Oh, Miss Vague, you mustn't be bitter.
Well, I am. Oh, dear, for the good old days of Queen Elizabeth and Sir Walter Riley. Wasn't it sweet the way he threw his coat over that mud puddle?
Very sweet.
Yes, but those days are gone forever. You never hear of a man throwing himself at a woman's feet anymore. Unless he happens to be a chiropodist. Oh, dear, je suis.
Oh, French.
Yes.
Incidentally, while you're running down the male sex, what about your affaire de coeur, your cher petit chou?
I beg your pardon?
What about your own boyfriend?
What boyfriend? Oh, yes, I see what you mean. My boyfriend, yes, esprit de corps. Yes, well, I had one who was always a perfect gentleman. As a matter of fact, when we had dinner, he was so polite, he used to knock on all the oyster shells before he opened them. Vive la chivalry! The old barnacle.
And what happened to the old barnacle?
Well, he began criticizing my appearance and my singing and my friends, and finally he married another woman, so I just jilted him.
Old hard to get vague.
Yes, well, no use crying over spilt barnacles. But I want to say that I think the test of good breeding is the ability to entertain properly, don't you?
I do.
What did you say?
I do.
Oh, dear, I'll bet you don't know what I'm thinking about.
I do.
Well, where was I?
You were talking about the ability to entertain.
Oh, yes, entertainment, yes. Now, I think the greatest sport of all is a masquerade party. I just love masquerades, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You should. At any rate, I was invited to a masquerade party just the other night where everyone was supposed to come dressed as a wild animal.
As a wild animal?
Yes.
Was the party fun?
Well, I didn't enjoy it much. My costume was so realistic they kept me chained up in the cloakroom for 2 hours.
Oh, that's a shame. Only 2 hours.
Well, I don't care. When I did get out, I had a marvelous time. I was the life of the party. After we unmasked, I organized a treasure hunt for the men. I was to be the treasure, and whoever found me was to get a great big kiss as a reward.
Who found you?
Well, nobody. I never saw such stupid men in all my life. I was hiding right out there in plain sight, too.
You might have done better if you'd left your mask on.
Yes. But you know, at a party, Mr. Valet, everything has to be tout à fait comme il faut. That's French for, means, well, it suffers in translation.
You speak quite a lot of French, Miss Vague.
Oh, yes, yes, I speak it fluently. You know, I lived over there for years.
Oh, did you?
Yes, yes, I had a villa there, right there by Berry, along the Riviera.
Have you ever lived in Switzerland, Miss Vague?
Oh, yes, Switzerland. Oh, lovely Switzerland. I was practically born there. Geneva, Lucerne, St. Moritz, oh, beautiful places.
Ah, yes. Magnificent days at St. Moritz. Do you remember that wonderful gorge in the Alps?
Oh, my, I certainly do. Never ate so much in my life.
Few songs that I've sung bring back the poignant memories that I find in this tune, Adios. Perhaps it is quixotic, but even though these memories are not too happy,
they are still very much a part of me, as is the song. Adios.
Adios. In leaving you, it grieves me to say adios. I'll be so lonely for you, only I sigh and cry my adios, adios to you. And in this heart, his memory of what used to be dear for you and me set apart. Watching and waiting above, soon it will be blessing our love. Adios. For happy endings I'll return dear to you, with a love true no more to bid you adios. Morena lejos de ti, el alma una pena porque al partir temo que tú olvides nuestro amor. Hermosa flor, mi alma vaticaste con la fragancia de tu canto. Toda mi ilusión, tú eres mi dulce canción. Adiós, me voy de la morena, me voy de aquí, a llorar mi tristeza lejos de ti.
The best praise any food can have is when people ask for more. So it's music to our ears when most of the continent comes back for seconds and thirds.
That's the story wherever you go. Why, there's just no limit to the number of times people come back asking for more of the same, please. Yes, sir, Chase and Sandman dated coffee in the new drip grind is the latest taste sensation. People can't get enough of it. Our roasting ovens all over the country keep hustling it out to the stores in their neighborhoods just as soon as each batch is roasted. That's what makes it so good. It's fresh. And that's important in fine coffee, just the same as it is in any other fresh food. So we have a rapid fresh food delivery system in each district. And we date every silver package so you know you're getting fine, rich, freshly roasted coffee every time you buy the dated drip grind. No pound of it stays in the store for more than 10 days. It's the same fine blend you get in the Chase and Sandman regular grind for percolator coffee. And we take pains to find the richest coffees we know how. Then, they're roasted to a turn and packed in the economical dated silver package. That's how you save money. Dating and rapid delivery do away with the need for heavy, high-priced containers. Instead, we use the money-saving silver package and pass the saving along to you. Just try dated drip grind yourself. Taste that flavor. The wonderful richness of a great blend, freshly roasted. Why, it makes coffee you just can't forget. Buy Chase and Sandman Drip Grind Dated Coffee tomorrow. Boy, it's delicious.
Patient Bergen and impatient McCarthy are at the hospital, waiting for word from us to give us the word from them. So we go from to fro, from here to there, from hither to yon, and without further ado, from Valley to McCarthy. Take it, Mac.
I got it. Oh, Mr. Bergen, isn't feeling better now, huh?
Yes, Charlie, please now.
All right. Just checking up on you, that's all. Just checking up, that's all.
Well, never mind that.
All right.
I think I'm going to check up on you a little bit.
Uh-oh. Normal again, huh?
Yeah. Last week, you started a Christmas shopping service.
That's right. Yes, indeed.
Yes. Now, does it still exist?
Yes, it does. Certainly does. Buzzing right along, too. Buzzing right along, Mr. Bergen. Buzzing right along.
Yeah.
Just can't stop it from buzzing. That's fine.
Well, how is this venture financially?
Well, that's a different thing, of course.
Yeah.
You mean money-ly speaking?
Yes, that's what I mean.
Well, you know how it is, Mr. Bergen. Business will fluctuate.
Yes.
Yes, it will fluctuate.
Yes,
it will. It really does.
Yes.
Just can't stop business from fluctuating.
No, I see. Well, how much can you make in a good day?
In a good day?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't know. I see. Let's say in a day.
In a day, all right.
In a day,
yes.
Well, now, let's see. How much in a day?
Yes.
Well, now, sometimes we can make as high as, as high as, What did you ask me?
How much can you make in a day?
Oh, yes, how much in a day? Well, I would say as high as, of course, then again, it'll fall off a little.
Yes.
So there you are.
There you are.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Charlie.
Uh-huh.
Have you had any customers?
No. You see, we're so exclusive, see? Oh, we are so exclusive. We're so exclusive, we're broke.
I see, yes.
That's how exclusive. We've carried it too far.
Yes. Charlie, didn't Schuyler Van Snort put some money into this business venture to start it?
That's correct. Yes, he did. He did indeed, yes.
Yes.
We used his money for what we call a sinking fund.
A sinking fund.
Yes.
And how is the sinking fund?
It sunk.
It sunk, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all right.
Yes. I see. Well, maybe you haven't done enough advertising.
Oh, it's gotten around all right.
Oh,
yes, yes. Only yesterday we got a call from the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yes. From the Better Business Bureau.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, what did you tell them?
Well, we told them we could use some. Say, Bergen, how about you going into this thing with us, huh?
You mean you'd like me to invest?
Yes, if you'd like to call it that, yes. And because you and me are such pals, I'll make you a preferred creditor.
A preferred creditor?
Yes.
And what is the advantage of that?
Well, you see, Schuyler won't know for 90 days that he won't get his money back, but I'll tell you right now.
I see, yes.
Yes. That's the business cycle.
Yes, yes. Charlie, before I become financially involved, I want to look at your books.
Books? Yes, sir. What do you read? Fiction or non-fiction?
Well, I want to see the financial statement of your business.
Oh, you want fiction.
Ah. My advice to you, Charlie, is give up this shopping service.
Oh, you see, I can't, Mr. Bergen. I need to make enough money to buy you a Christmas present.
Oh, I see.
Yes. I feel that I should spend at least $1,000 on your present.
Oh, Charlie.
Yes, I do, Mr. Bergen.
Charlie, are you going to spend $1,000 on my present?
No, I just feel that way. Of course, maybe I like you better than you like me.
Oh, I'm sure my friendship for you is as great as yours for me.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Bergen. Because you got $1,000.
Well, We might change the subject now.
I figured we would, yeah. How about letting us do your Christmas shopping for you, huh?
Well, I don't know what I want to buy yet.
Well, I tell you, you have a list, haven't you?
A list?
Yeah. Or are you the listless type?
No. No, I have a list, but I think I'm capable of doing the buying myself.
Well, no, you're not, Mr. Bergen. You've got to save your strength, you know. Remember, you're just convalescing.
Well, that's true, and the stores are pretty crowded at this time of the year.
Yes, it is. Isn't it too bad that Christmas comes during the holiday season? Stores are always so crowded.
Yeah. Charlie, I'll give you an assignment.
Good.
Now, you can do my shopping for me.
Okay, Klein.
Now, I was wondering first what I might get for, there's Donald Dixon.
Oh, yes, Donald Dixon, yes. Dixon, oh, yeah. Well, I wouldn't waste much time on him. No.
Donald is a very fine fellow.
Well, that's, of course, that's one man's opinion.
And I'd like to get him something suitable.
Why don't you get him a pocketbook with a zipper on all sides? Takes him so long with those safety pins. Oh.
No. I think I'll order him a dozen handkerchiefs.
A dozen handkerchiefs?
Yes.
Sir, that's what it'll be. I'll take care of that for you, sir. Now, what size?
What size? Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Just make sure that they're big enough.
Yeah. What size is his nose?
Oh, I don't know, sir.
What are you going to get the maestro? A metronome so he can keep time?
No. No, I know what he'd appreciate.
What?
Well, you see, Bob Armbruster is a philatelist.
A what?
A philatelist.
Is that so? Yeah. Well, he's been acting funny lately.
Yes,
he's been a little depressed, too.
Well,
of course, you wouldn't know to look at him, but I suspected.
You did, yes.
Yes, I suspected him.
Yeah. Well, Charlie, a philatelist,
yes,
is a stamp fancier.
A stamp fancier. Well, fancy that, yes.
Bob has been collecting stamps for years.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get him a stamp for Christmas.
Oh, boy, a stamp. That's really swinging out, isn't it, kid?
Yes.
What do you want to get him, a one-center or a two-center? Or maybe you'd like to splurge and get him an airmail.
Well, No, I mean a rare stamp. I think I'd better select that myself. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can buy Dorothy's gift for me.
Oh, Dorothy Lamour's?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Good old Dottie. What do you want to get, Dottie?
Well, I was thinking of getting Dottie some mules.
Yeah. What did you say?
Mules.
Mules?
Yes.
Oh, come.
Yes, mules.
Mule. Oh, I don't think she would care for that.
Yes, I think it would be very nice.
Mules?
Yes.
Don't you think one would be enough?
No.
Oh, I don't like to... Not that. I don't want to... Chris,
if you don't want to get them, I'll get something...
No, I'll find them. I'll find them.
A pair of mules.
Very good. I'll find a nice pair.
Yes.
Gentle.
Yes, all right. Yes.
Of course, she has a car.
That's beside the point.
All right. Mules, it'll be mules.
Yes, all right.
Any particular color? White or black?
No, I think red would be nice.
Red mules?
Yes,
red. Uh-huh. Red mules,
yes.
You did say red.
I said red.
I've never seen red mules.
Well, find them.
I think, yes, we'll find them, yes.
Red mules, that's it. Red mules with ostrich feathers.
Ostrich feathers?
That's it.
Oh, nurse, come and get him.
From Gounod's opera, Philemon and Baucis, Lansing Hatfield sings the powerful Vulcan song, the song of the lusty-voiced blacksmith who, amidst the pounding of his anvil and the forging of his metals, tells his story to the world.
Thank you. de Reims. Au sombre éclat de la fournaise, dans mon empire souterrain, je marche et je respire à l'aise. Je règne un maître souverain. Mais chez vous j'en ai honte, chaque fois que j'y monte, je me rage de me voir si difforme et si noir. Mon aspect vous fait rire, et tout bas j'entends dire, Venise n'avait pas tort, il mérite son sort. Sans écouter le reste, l'indice je se laisse, moi je prie. Voilà pourquoi, voilà pourquoi, voilà pourquoi j'ai ma resté chez moi. Sous les mots fermés et aux cirques, je commande toute une armée de noirs géants, maîtres du feu au sein de la dente fumée. Comme vous là-haut, je suis Dieu. Mais quand j'y m'en m'invite à lui rendre visite, je me rage de me voir si difforme et si noir. Mon aspect l'a fait rire, et tout bas j'entends dire, Venise n'avait pas tort, il mérite son sort. Sans écouter le reste, l'indice je se laisse, moi je fuis. Voilà pourquoi, voilà pourquoi, voilà pourquoi je m'arrête.
Two schools of thought on the subject of parting. One maintains that absence makes the heart grow fonder, and the other claims out of sight, out of mind. We hope you're of the grow fonder school, because your Chase and Sandman company will be around again next Sunday to renew friendships. And just so there won't be any forgetting, when you drink your cup of Chase and Sandman coffee, think of us. And when we drink ours, we'll think of you. In that way, we'll both be drinking to friendship, because Chase and Sandman coffee is friendship. Friendship in a cup. May I tell you all how enjoyable it has been being with you for the past 5 weeks? And may I blow the first fanfare of welcome at the return of your vacationing host, Don Ameche. With Don next Sunday will be Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Donald Dixon, Dorothy L'Amour, Robert Ambrose and the Chase and Sandman Orchestra. As special guest will be Geraldine Fitzgerald. So until we meet again, this is Rudy Valley, anticipating another, I hope.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.